You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me the chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik. Good morning, Chairman Slavik. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you in here. Today, I think what we're going to start with is Dakota County has finalized a reopening plan to get businesses going after COVID. Is that correct?
That is. Well, I think, you know, we've always done a little bit of stuff, but yes, we're getting to the point where we now have a plan to open the doors for the county buildings. That's kind of our latest thing, but we've opened up one of our two beaches on the 20th of June. So the Schultz Beach in Lebanon Hills opened up there. The Lake Bilsby Beach will not open up this year at all due to construction. So we have construction going on both at Whitetail Woods and Lake Bilsby. So the beach down there won't be open for the year, but we are able to say that we, after earlier saying we were not going to open up our beaches, we were able to open up one of the beaches at the county up in Lebanon Hills. So that was one of our most recent big announcements. The other thing is, at this point, I think before we talk about when we open, at the library we're doing curbside pickup. We also have an appointment process where if somebody needs to use the computers, they are able to go and call the libraries and get a one-hour time period where they're able to go into the libraries while they're still closed and use the computers and printers. Additionally, all of our libraries, we ramped up our Wi-Fi connection, so if you just need a better internet service, you can go and park in our parking lot and use that. And we've seen quite a few people across the library system who are going into the county's Wi-Fi system and actually being able to use that system. The other aspect that we have are things that government do, like driver's licenses, tabs, things of that sort. They've all been by either mail or by an online appointment where you go onto the website, you click the time, then go in and you wear a face mask and come into the county building. While it's still locked, you have a phone number that you call once you get to the entrance. And we are going through, there's a lot of catch up on those driver's licenses, but we are doing a very good job of getting them up there. And before I share the next phase, I should make note that the driver's licenses by executive order will not expire for 2 months after the emergency powers end. So as of now, assuming the governor does not continue them, you still have a couple more months to get your driver's license renewed. But I know a lot of people like to get them done. So,
here's
our next phase.
Beginning
on the 13th of July, the county buildings are intended to be open. That will align with the courts that are also going to be opening on July 13th. With driver's licenses, you'll be able to go one of two ways. The first option is, as we've been doing before, you will be able to go and do online appointments. Those currently, in fact, as of this morning, Hastings had about 35 openings towards the end of July as of now. So you could go on and jump on and still be able to have an appointment only, so you don't have to wait in line, and that will be a separate line, but then you'll be able to do walk-ins in a different line, you know, spaced 6 feet apart, and that is going to begin on the 13th of July. We will also, that the intent is for the libraries to open up on that same day, limited hours, but in-person library is also expected to be open on the 13th of July.
And then I'm just want to make sure that we cover this too. I'm sure you already have, but the social distancing guidelines will still be in place. Masks will still be recommended at least. Is that correct?
In our county buildings, we have a policy that masks are required.
Okay.
In county.
Yep.
So we will still continue to have a mask for those periods in here. On the libraries, so the libraries will open up for express in-person service on the 13th of July. Customers can stop in between 9 and 5 to pick up holds, browse the shelves, check items, and use a computer. The customers will still be able to use the curbside pickup and books by mail. And as you had said before, the library and all county policies will be following the health and safety guidelines, including the limited building capacities, the mask wearing, the cleaning and disinfecting, the barriers around the service desks, some of the libraries in particular, they'll be removing some of the furniture and putting it in the storage rooms. And finally, the study rooms, meeting rooms, and iLab will not be available at this time.
All right. Not even by appointment. If, you know, you were saying like earlier that if someone needed to use a computer, so the iLabs are just going to be off limits for the time being.
That is correct. So, yeah, the iLabs, just for sanitation purposes and cleaning. So none of that will open up on the 13th. I think the hope is as we, if things continue and we continue on the path of safe reopening, that could be one of the things that are next. But this will be, I think this is a plan you're going to start to see in some of the more suburban counties. Anoka County had started a version of this about a week ago, but they have stopped curbside pickup entirely. And our librarians felt that this was actually one of the very positive things that we were able to do. So that's why they have made the decision to keep going on this one. And I think Scott and Washington are looking at similar plans.
All right. And all of this information is still on the the county website. You still have the COVID update page going?
Yes. Yeah. So we still have we have two things. One, some of this announcement is late breaking on what's opening up, but it's not a secret by any words, but I don't know if you'll find the opening dates on the website yet. But we do have the Dakota County dashboard that has all of the and that is updated Monday through Friday. That has the cases per city, as well as hospitalizations per city, and the new cases for the day. So that is updated every day, Monday through Friday.
Okay. Changing gears a little bit, I'm thinking back to the incident that happened earlier this month, or maybe it was in late last month, where you had the two people that vandalized the Apple Valley Government Center. Is there any update on that at all that you can talk about?
Well, yes, I can. They were charged in federal courts by our federal prosecutor. So it's a case that's not part of the local, because it was an attack on a courthouse. The federal government took the lead on that one, and they're with the help of the Sheriff's Office, Apple Valley Police Department, and the county attorneys. But the two individuals have been charged with crimes. They were the county was able to kind of clean up some of the things in there because the courts haven't been meeting.
Right.
They were able to actually, much of the area that was damaged was actually under some renovations. They were replacing carpet and a few things in there, which made the cost actually significantly less, because they were already in a construction mode at that point in there. But as I said earlier, the courts are going to be meeting, aren't going to start meeting until the 13th of July. So at that point, the courtrooms will be back in order as they were kind of planned on. And but the individuals who did have to go right back into the office were able to go back within a couple days into those spaces that actually have to work. But just to make note, we're still at about 70% of our employees who are able to work from home. Until that will very much change once we start opening up the buildings. But up to that point there, we have been able to still have everybody work from home.
All right. And talking about all those people working from home, are they showing excitement about being able to get back in the office and do things, or do they like things the way they are?
Well, you know, we have, I think it seems like just about everything else, there's about a third, a third, a third.
But,
you know, I think you probably saw some of those recent polling numbers that showed people who say the reopening is, everything should be reopened, nothing should be reopened, or we're about right. And that's kind of, I think, where our employees have been as well. We have a number who would have liked to be back working in person probably months ago. We have a third who feel this is about the right time, we're doing about right. And I think there's a third that still would like us not to be back until, you know, some of them maybe never, but at least not until fall. And, you know, that's been kind of one of the interesting things that we've been able to do with this is we've actually found a lot of some of our jobs that actually are working better by being able to work from home. And some of them probably won't come back to a building once we get this all figured out.
Does that mean then a kind of a permanent change in how you look at the business model of the county and make certain allowances for those kinds of processes that would work better in a non-traditional way?
Well, absolutely. So Dakota County has been a little bit on the lagging behind in terms of working from home and that. So there's a number of counties that with some of these positions across the state that have been more like your typical workforce now that have had that flexibility. And I think we figured it out that of actual work from home flexible jobs, we were under under 3% of our workforce actually that worked from home. And other counties, like I said, they've had policies for 8-10 years on some of this stuff in here, and we realized that, you know, some of the jobs in there we have, you know, you have to still have child care. You can't go and look at this as a way to kind of double dip and save on child care costs and all that. But there's been ways where they're actually to get the work done and get it done in a more timely manner, and actually being able to make it very accountable has looked at that. So we're going to be doing some evaluations kind of statewide on how we do things, and do we really need to keep building more buildings and more office space, or is there some things that could be done if we had better internet service across the county?
And what kind of positions would be most beneficial to having that kind of a business model?
So we have found some of it in our community services are where we're seeing a lot of those positions. I don't know if I've shared this in a previous conversation, but I've been one of 12 county commissioners across the state who've been serving on a blue ribbon committee for government reform that has kind of been trying to figure out ways with COVID-19, how have we had to operate, and have there been actually some good things about that, particularly in some of our telemedicine and some of the waivers that human services have allowed us to kind of do differently. And in the legislature, it was not something that you heard very much, but actually at the very last days of the special session, the legislature went and approved all of the waivers to kind of have a wind down instead of right now they've all been in a situation where they've had to go and, you know, be technology and a few other things that kind of been some exceptions. And we said, well, we can't, as soon as we're back to normal, we can't just go back immediately to that. So they allowed us 60 days to kind of wind them back to the way they were. But we had found 16 things that we felt, 16 waivers that could actually make government better, and we felt with that. And we actually got 14 of the 16 that the legislature allowed to continue beyond the end of the emergency powers. And these are some things on telemedicine, some waivers on some various communications, some electronic signatures. And these things will allow someone to basically have a social worker work from home in front of a FaceTime or an iPad, and be able to not have to travel from, you know, point A to point B. We really believe that these will end up coming as doing one of two things. Either we'll be able to serve more people, or we'll be able to cut costs by having less staff and travel as a result. So these are just some of the things, but particularly where you'll see the biggest savings in county government would be in community services.
All right. Yeah, I understand that the medical profession, as kind of a sidelight to this, is really embracing the idea of telehealth, and it seems to be working very well for clinics and hospitals to use that. So I can see how that would translate well into community services for the county.
And we've seen some of it just on my other side, professional side in real estate. Some of the electronic signatures on acquisition of right-of-way to the some of the closings that used to have to meet in person and all that. So there's been some electronic signature things that have really, in the residential and commercial real estate side, we're already kind of moving that way. But government was kind of the last ones to figure it out, and they've had to follow that same plan and probably more aggressive. And that has been a big time saver for all parties with that. So I think technology is going to be the driver of what could go in and truly make life a lot different.
And I'm sure, too, the process for a government entity is probably a little bit different because of all the regulatory issues and the statutory issues that you got to pay attention to, and getting all those aligned up to make that new system work well.
That is so true. So we call them the stakeholders we have to deal with is, you know, it might be the federal government, the state, it might be regulations, it might be a nonprofit, it might be some of the advocacy groups. So there's a lot of stakeholders that you have to get through to get everybody on the same page and agree to something. So that's the reason why we asked of those 14 waivers that got approved, we said we'd like them to continue through the next legislative session so we can try to get everybody on board and make a better case for why we're doing this. And fortunately, the legislature agreed, so that was very positive.
And yes, I also know that the stakeholders, as you call them, you've been in touch with lawmakers up in St. Paul almost constantly. I hear from Senator Bigham that there's a lot of back and forth where the concerns are being presented and addressed, going both ways. Actually, the county is saying, you know, you're saying to Senator Bigham, I need this kind of assistance and that kind of thing. And it shows to me that at least the lines of communication for getting that set up are still intact and working.
And I would agree with that. So Senator Bigham and Representative Juergens both go in and are part of a pretty regular, almost weekly call that the county has with all of our state representatives and senators, just to kind of talk about the priorities for Dakota County and also see if there's anything that they need from us. And so we started that during COVID. We went and said, let's just do a video conference every Friday morning just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And so it's been very, we haven't done it with a session being done. We haven't done it as much, but that was definitely a way for all of us to make sure that both sides could hear the story and be able to make a better case.
Excellent. All right, Chairman Slavik, we've got about a minute and a half left or so, and I always like to give an opportunity for you to provide your contact information if anyone in the county has questions or concerns about what's going on. How can they get a hold of you?
Well, there's lots of ways they can. You know, I always tell people the first get most of my contact information is on the county website. If you go to dakotacounty.us and click on the Board of Commissioners, you'll see my home phone number, my office phone number, my email are on there. I also am certainly welcome and get quite a few contacts of people who reach out to me off of a county commissioner Facebook page on that. So any of them will work for me. Don't be afraid to call my house. That works out too, especially when I'm not at the office as much as I would be in a normal time. But so any of them would work on there. If you go to dakotacounty.us, you'll find all of my contact information.
All right. Chairman Slavik, our time is just about up. I'd like to thank you for your time again today, giving us an update on what's going on at the county.
Well, thank you very much.
This is Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.